Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me, in no particular order, are the players and their level 6 characters. Brandon.
I'm Ekaru Poonslay, Half-Orc Bloodhunter, level 6, aka Dark Lord.
Caleb.
I'm Kaito Itata,
level 6 Barbarian.
I'm a Construct.
I'm here at a party.
Tomo.
Hey, I'm Steve Tedman. I am a level 5 Gloomstalker Ranger, level 1 Rogue, and I have a Magic Owl.
Multi-classer.
Fancy.
Brayden.
I'm Brayden. I am playing Beleg Dagar, level 6 Half-Elf Warlock.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards.
What the fuck do we do now, boys?
I mean, I wouldn't mind saving Krizblik.
You're right, we should consult them if there's any materials we need.
He mentioned green magic, which is like elven magic.
Elven
knows that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So saving Krizblik or reviving Krizblik would probably require a trip to Chlombur.
Have we spoken to anyone from Iz, though?
I wouldn't mind actually visiting the city of Iz.
I'm going to suggest to the guys that if we don't want to deal with Iz, then we probably want to try to reach out to Lantan and fill our needs there.
Okay, so I think that Iz is the closest resource we have. And
to
also
keep our town running.
To keep our town running. And yes, in order to keep our town running and for us to move onwards and do anything else and not be attacked, we need to secure Iz.
Well, it's important to keep people here to protect Bulb. This is where our home is now. We know Oldfoot is in Iz, and he's the guy that Nafri said was holding him hostage.
Well,
are we back to the White Chain, or where are we heading?
Let's go back to the White Chain! Kick the other door in!
I think we should go to Burm.
Yeah, I think we gotta
head. The question is, do we want
to
go by water or by land?
Did we send for food and drink first, though, for the town?
That's the question.
We tried to.
Well,
I
think
don't know.
If we're going to leave, then we've got to leave, like, Lieutenant Dan and Gurm in kind of like authority, so that way it just doesn't go to shit, right?
So I think we should go back to the White Chain, have a little round table.
We've already got
this
message to bring Dante to the White Chain, so we can go there.
Yeah.
And then we can kind of give him all of the direction.
So back to the White Chain, and we'll do a round table to discuss the future of Pulp and where we go from there.
Adventurers, as you return on your four steeds to the White Chain, you have been beaten to the front doors. You see Shorva, standing in front of the closed doors to the White Chain. And Kaito and rest of the party, you will be thrilled to note that the work Porco was doing seems to have been complete. There is about 30 or 40 people, nobles, a cart. There's Dante. There's the mayor drunken on the cart. And there seems to be the whole retinue of the mayor. And they are all parked outside the Temple of Dan and the White Chain. This little square you guys know so well. As you approach the scene, you are noticed.
Hey, there they are. Open up! Your lady here with the clipboard has been quite adamant that nobody should enter. It's me, Dante!
Hey, Dante.
I remember the rook told me don't let anyone in. Stand guard when you're not here, and I'll do my best. Doug is not around. Help me.
And Shorv is a mess.
Can I gather everyone in a group huddle and just being like, we don't have the provisions to open yet?
No, but we can hold meetings here.
But, like, everyone's here to eat.
Yes, a meeting. We have many things to ask.
Yes, there are some people here with good things to say.
And also bad things to say.
Well.
The crowd is muttering, and it seems like the mayor is not at the moment vertical. He is horizontal on his cart here, but a lot of nobles in quite colorful garb are shouting, and there's a small contingent of commoners as well, and they seem to be shouting as well different things.
Where's the daily hanging?
It's been 2 days since blood in the square.
As an execution!
Oh boy.
I want to whisper to the guys, should we hang the mayor?
So we're...
No.
We're going to have a... So let's, like, invite everyone in one at a time and hear what they have to say.
We're going
to
have an air your grievances? It's going to take six episodes.
Hey, that's not bad. Look, guys, I'll be the proctor here. Let's get old Mayor Gently in here first. Look at him there.
And the mayor is now stumbling towards you guys.
My new heroes, let me in for some ale and cheese as we did before.
Gently.
Ale or cheese.
Oh, yes, mer.
There's something you should know.
What? Good wine? What?
Nafri has left.
There were whispers behind me. Where will I get the best wine?
Can I party with everyone for a sec? Being like, can we blame the lack of goods on Nafri? Being like, Nafri's departed, and now he's to blame for the shortage.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
I like to feel that we're all like in a huddle, like we've just stopped and huddled up.
Kaitoa, can you roll a stealth?
Yep.
And Mayor Gently, as you've kind of let him in and Dante begins to, you know, proctor and separate the line, clearly by importance, the mayor has and Kaitoa?
16.
Okay. What he sees to be these party of four adventurers, you know, muttering around.
This looks a lot like what Nafri did. Did I just overhear you saying sort of, you know, move the blame around? Yes, I know these sort of games, but you're just like Nafri.
Nafri's gone. We're here. You still get to be mayor, but we're going to take a lot better care of you, and we're going to take a lot better care of this town.
Oh, yes. Well, great, then. I found a new patron, then. So keep the act up, then. Okay. How much am I getting paid by you guys?
How much was Nafri paying you?
Well, how much was the city paying me, you mean? Well, the mayor's salary and all that it entails. And unlimited vintages.
So we'll pay you what you can eat and drink. And that is all.
Fantastic. Yeah. I'm fairly satisfied, but I'll tell you the lineup behind me, where it gets a little spicy. Well then, I would go on. I had great fun yesterday. You know, they let me hold court on my own without Nafri around, and we played songs and got quite saucy. You should come by sometime. Hugill's happening.
You don't make a move without us. We'll keep you drunk and fed. But you don't make a move without us.
What's that? Drunk? Yes.
And the mayor now, like Dante, is sort of standing him up as he says, drunk, yes, and is a little sideways as he is led out the door. And you see the next group of people coming in, guys. There are some wounded soldiers. They are coming in one by one, and there are about 8 of them. And with them is a familiar face. A face missing a couple teeth, a head with a bit of a purple lump on it. And it seems like
Sergeant Standard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like he's now lost a bit of his lower right arm.
The men from yesterday would like to thank you for the battlefield healing. They would have died without administering those potions in the field. Thank you. I wish somebody would grow back Minim. Oh, well, at least I was left-handed.
And can each of you roll a d4?
It's a 3 for Belly.
2.
4. 4 for Rick.
4 for Steve.
So collectively, between Beleg's healing gauntlets, Steve, between some of your healing arts that are drawn from another realm and from the practical bottles of bubbly healing, the true elf healing potions there, you guys do think back to how you were quite... also, the battlefield medics, you know, you treated some grievous wounds, and here are these soldiers thanking, and oh, look, guys, some of them have brought their wives and spouses. Oh, some children have brought you guys flowers.
Thanks for saving me, pups. I'm a little bigger one.
And they're kind of going around your legs, Beleg and Kaitoa. They seem quite fond of you. Kaitoa, a little boy has drawn a picture of you. And Steve, there seems to be nobody looking or identifying you. You're just like a shadow. But three of the members of this party seem to be kind of obvious heroes. And then next, as Sandrid leads these men away...
I'd like to be filtering these people towards Rook and Beleg. Filtering them of like, yes, yes, no, yes. Or like trying to pass people off of like who can greet the quartermaster and who cannot.
I was going to say
entirely comfortable with the attention, but he does enjoy the praise.
Yeah, I'm trying to filter them of like... No one's going to swarm the quartermaster. I'm going to try and filter them.
Terrorist. This one's a terrorist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kaito, would that. You say you are taking the initiative to now screen the next visitors? As you did see, I mean, about 20 people came in with Sergeant Sandra. And guys, as they turn away, what would you guys be doing?
If there's more people. I'm waiting for the okay. more people, but...
And you've now seen Kaitoa.
That's the thing. I'm trying to filter them yeah. so they can deal with people coming inward and exiting them so that I can let two more people in.
Yeah. Doorman's dance.
Yeah. I'm playing bouncer. Yeah.
Okay, well, Kaitoa, the next person up is what clearly looks like a widow in mourning. And she holds a small letter. And she is dressed all in a dark, dark gray, which you know is a color of mourning, or rather an absence of color.
May I pass and see the new lords of the city?
Shorva.
And I hand the note. Yes, Morkinum.
I hand the note off.
Shall I read it?
No, take this to the quartermaster.
Oh.
Rook, you see Kaitoa has stopped this small widow, clearly in mourning, and instead has, you know, taken her note from her hands, passed it to Shorva. Shorva comes bustling back to you, quartermaster, and hands you this small, it's a small envelope.
I'm going to open it and read it.
Okay, as you open it, it has a family crest on the inside, and it is the crest of a rosebud.
Am I familiar with this crest?
I think not. I think you would recognize it immediately given your kind of noble heritage. Like, this is a family crest. It seems like a fairly distinguishable icon.
Okay, well, I'm gonna look to her and ask her what her business is or what has her upset.
May I not pass, Mr. Tinman?
Come forward.
I let her by.
Thank you. The reason I'm here is to beg for clemency for the rest of my family.
Why would you need to beg for that?
Well, my husband killed last night. Oh, Buddy, my husband. Buddy Rosebud, the head archer. And I've heard this party hunts down the other family members of the people executed in Pole Plaza. Spare me and my children. Spare me. That's a token of the Rosebud family's allegiance.
We do not hunt down other family members from people that have suffered a unfortunate fate, but unless it is warranted. Are you telling me that your family, aside from your, is it your husband, buddy, it has nothing...
Husband, buddy.
Had. Not anymore. Well, I beg that you are as wise as you proclaim to be, good half-orc.
And she is now retreating back in front of you. She hasn't seemed to directly answer your question.
Our family is humble and gifted in the bow. Buddy was a good man. I bow before you. I will take my leave.
I step up and I say, we did nothing that wasn't in self-defense. Your family is safe. But your husband attacked us, so we can't.
I hope not to hear such horrible things. They tell me his body was not buryable. It was not intact.
That's nothing we know, and we apologize for any distraught.
It was all
purely in self-defense.
It was all crumpled and gray and ashy. It was like it had been affected by some terrible eldritch horror that we dare not speak of.
Kaito kind of like holds his smirk.
I'm gonna kind of.
We can't say how he died.
Yeah, I'm gonna motion at Bella like to kind of just back off. And just say thank you for your allegiance, and if we need your family's help in defending this town, we will definitely reach out to you.
Oi, thank you, my lord. Truly, though, and they say his comrades tried to pick up his body, it turned to ash. Oh, it's quite terrible. Oh, it's burned into my brain. Oh, the description. Oh.
I'm not sure what happened there, but we'll get it sorted out, and at the very least, you will have the ashes to bury.
Madam, quartermaster, if you don't mind, he served his duty, and he served his best, and whatever happened to him, we'll make sure his remains were properly disposed and respectfully disposed. We'll take care of that.
Thank you, wise lords.
And she is now turning away, and Dante gives you guys a big shrug. This person has now left, and you know, Kaitoa, as you assured her, and Beleg, as you tried to reassure her, and Rook, you know, you all seem to moderate this person's impression of you a little bit. As you look down out past the door, there seems to be, like, only really two more groups of people. There's a group of nobles who look a little assertive compared to the other group, which looks like maybe six or seven well-to-do commoners from the middle class of Polb. Who shall I let in first, guys?
The one on the left.
Was that the nobles or just the kind of well-to-do guys?
The nobles.
Here they come. They're kind of assholes. Oh, hey, nobles, come on in. Oh, the white chain, yes. Oh, fine, come meet every...
I hear there's a dragon summoner around. The conjurer Mem is casting fireballs outside of the city. Who's the conjurer of this party?
Yeah, there's sort of a rotund, assertive-looking fellow in a purple doublet and a purple hat.
Say, what's it to you?
Well, what's it to me is not much other than, well, the Wizards Guild will not like to hear about these things without some sort of accounting for the actions. Great things you've done here, you adventurers, great things indeed, but we all must live by the same rules.
I'm gonna slowly try to issue his party out from behind him so he's alone in the chamber.
Okay. You're sidling around. Steve, what are you doing through all this time? As I assume you're observing, again, from sort of one step back from Beleg and Rook, who are in the center of this foyer, and Kaitoa, who's now edging off to the right.
Well, I think what Steve has done is he's gone upstairs And he's gone to the third floor.
You have escaped the scene.
He's gone to the danger room.
Okay.
And I'm going to try see if I can find the owl or do what I do to summon the owl.
Okay. Up here in the third floor, you would, if you're attempting now to summon your familiar, Stolas, you would now feel from inside your poncho, Steve, there's a familiar warmth. As you have escaped from, you know, whatever's going on downstairs and had a moment alone, you are no longer alone. Stolas has returned.
Yeah! Hey, check out this lock. I found it. I'm going to figure out what it does. It's really weird. It's got electromagic in it.
As you look into Stolas' eyes, Stolas is changed. Stolas seems just a little more elongated. It is as if now in this second version here of your summoned familiar, the owl Stolas, slightly bigger version. And the eyes, wow, Steve, they're almost sparkling. As you look deep in and show Stolas, I guess you're showing him your most recent little thing, your recent little trinket. Yes, your friend looks back and gives you a nice friendly hoot.
I'm going to sit down on the floor and we're going to get through this lock, figure out what makes it tick.
Okay, you could roll Arcana with advantage on the lock. And
well, I rolled double 19, so it's a 19.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow. Wow.
You would feel, Steve, that this is a component of a magical entranceway. Something built out of arcane material. It's like this material that you're holding itself is imbued with some sort of arcane magic. And beyond that, this locking mechanism that sort of flew off the inside of the door to the wizard and spear, you know, it sits in your hand pretty big and bulky and cold, and it has wooden components to it, but it's mostly made of like a cast metal, it seems, and it sort of glows before you. Okay. Party. Downstairs. Yes, this fellow, Kaitoa, as you size him up beside him, you've sort of gone a bit into the shadows beside the pillar here. Rook and Beleg, he looks back to both of you again.
Yes, so questions about who's throwing magic around, and then also heads to come off. That would be great. The group behind us, they sort of live on that kind of stuff.
So his party members, I'm going to slowly usher out the door, being like, no, this is a closed meeting, and try and push them out the door.
Okay.
Leaving him in the room behind me.
Hey, hustle bustle. Hey, wait, what's this? You're pushing me.
And a couple of these, there's about five of them here, Kaitoa. Can you make a strength roll?
Yeah.
And you just go towards them like arms wide, like catching them in a big cow catcher.
With arms wide open.
And
not 21.
Oh, nice. Kaitoa, you have successfully pushed most of this rabble, like, out past Shorva, who's still kind of standing by the door, out past Dante, and only this fellow in the purple doublet and hat remains. He kind of looks about him.
Whoa, so that's how we do negotiating here. Okay, a little outnumbered now. Well, it doesn't change. You need to step up. There's responsibilities here, gentlemen, my lords.
He seems to remember his place.
Do you have any suggestions for anybody that we can take to Pole Plaza to?
we negotiate based on merit.
Well, the backlog isn't really as big as it normally is. You know, I hear the holding cells maybe have a couple of street urchins in it. But, yes, well, that's all we can really do, you know. We wouldn't want to stop the daily execution. I think it's quite marvelous, I suppose.
Well, if crime is down, why don't we supplement the daily hanging with theater or Jesus fucking Christ, can you guys hear those seagulls?
You know, Kolb is a, you know, it's a seaside city. And yeah, a flock of seagulls flies over the plaza outside.
I can't help but think that, like, Brayden's got, like, a soundboard that he's just...
yeah, the goof board.
Oh, no, now here comes a helicopter.
But, like, this, this noble says back to you, well, you know, it's true. Crime has gone down significantly in the last 3 days, although huge bloodshed and battles in and out of the city have sure gone up. Boy, you guys have turned things upside down. Well, I suppose the question is, are we going to leave them upside down or turn them back to the way we were? I mean, the mayor, boy, whew, you turned him away quickly. I suppose you gave him a bottle of wine. Where is Nafri? Not that we want to see him. Yes.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, yes, my lord.
What about you?
Yeah, if you don't want to be executed, let's assemble a drama, like a drama crew, and we'll have daily performances in the square instead of execution. There'll be plenty of excitement. There'll be dramatized sword fights galore. The kids will love it.
Sir, we could execute him. That would make quick work of things.
Execute me? I'm sweating from my brow and feeling very not good left alone here. Dante?
And he starts to go into a flop sweat. Like his purple hat, you know, his purple felt hat turns like a second dark shade of purple. As you guys alternately suggest great changes, Beleg, you propose a daily theater in the plaza, and Kaitoa, you seem to propose executing him.
I just look at Kaitoa. No.
palm of the back of my hand to my sweaty forehead. Quartermaster Poonslay, noble, there of course is one more thing, and I hope you side with your advisor friend here. He's very wise, the one into the dramatic arts, yes. The one into the killing arts, killing of me, no, not good advisor. And then one more thing, there is talk then in some of the noble circles, Poonslay, that you have resurfaced and become the leading force of the court mastery here in the city. I wonder how far you intend to broadcast that, for it may have already traveled far and wide, this news, my lord.
Yeah, I'm not looking to broadcast it very far, but if it gets out there, it's fine. But we do need to figure out what daily event we're going to do moving forward to entertain the town's people.
I'll leave it up to you. Can you please take killing me off the list? Yes, I'm going to back slowly away. Hey, Tin Man, Construct Lord, please let me out.
This guy's right here.
Rob, would Steve be able to make his way back down for this conversation?
You making would be, my way back Steve, down. You know, re-entering pretty much whenever you wanted, but if sure. You were up there, we'd say that you must have missed one or two interactions. So yeah, you're back down as Dante and a noble in purple garb seem to be the only sort of folks being spoken to right now, and you see the purple guy starting to grab at Dante's cyan tunic.
Are they going to kill me? I don't know, man.
And Dante is kind of liking this. Are you letting him out or keeping him?
Oh, Dante should go. I'm gonna open my pathway for Dante.
What about fights?
But this quartermaster, or this, like, noble, I'm... No.
Noble's fine. Let him go.
And I like the idea of threatening noble masters, so I'm gonna hold back the noble master until I'm told not to.
Kaito, as you hold this guy by the scruff of his neck and Dante seems happy to be kind of at the perimeter, and he's not the one right now having his hand crushed and being yanked in and out of the threshold of the white chain. He's quite pleased to no longer like be the one in that wonderful position. You guys hear Steve descend down and suggest perhaps fights.
Yeah, let's.
What do you mean, Steve?
Well, why don't we get the the town's guard to effectively train against each other? We'll have fights. We'll people want combat. People want a little bit of blood.
I think they want a lot of blood, not a little bit.
But do you want blood? So like, are they killing each other? Is this like?
So you're suggesting the strongest will survive as far as the town's
guard. Not a fight to the death, but if people want to see action.
Squeak, squeak, squeak. Oh, let me in.
You guys hear a knock at the threshold of the door.
Sounds like Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah, sounds like Dan. Yeah. Get the ramp.
The white chain is Barrow Chair accessible. It has a level entrance, my friends.
I'm gonna tell Kaitoa that who he's holding back right now is not who we're gonna execute, but I'm not fully taking it off the table, so I don't want him to go very far.
Yeah, I pull him to my side, hold on to him, and I open the door for.
It looks like I have squeaked in to rolled in. You like that one, Master Belleg? Huh? It looks like I've rolled into a little internal party strife. Oh, did I hear something about fighting?
It sounds like you have your opinion here.
I think I rolled in just to hear Steve say training town's guard. The ranger boy has a great idea. Why not refill the missing ranks of Polb with your new drafted army and train them up to fighting capability while you go adventuring off somewhere? Me and Mickey will take care of training them.
It sounds like you could lead this army.
That sounds all right.
Yeah.
I could keep a barracked army. I'll keep the city safe.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. I'm going to appoint him to do that.
Well, what should we do with this nobleman?
I don't know this... why you have such a beef against the nobleman.
Because we have to set an example.
You guys are great.
Example.
You guys are great directors. I love it. You guys are great directors. So, what I'm hearing here, let me live. Let the nobles continue to just sort of have the nice quarters of the city here, and we're going to see nice sort of arena fighting during the day and the occasional dramatic play. Let me go.
Before you go, how about the winners of these fights get bonuses, like food? And better shit, better armor. I know an armorer who could probably help us out. And nobles can help us grease that wheel.
Funding. Yeah, well, it always comes to that.
Higher taxes to the nobles.
So in Belleg and Rook's ear, I whisper, we have to keep a thumb down on the nobles because they have too much money and we can't let them loose. We have to keep them under our thumb.
Well, let's let the nobles see. They also get maybe.
And we gotta keep. No, we gotta keep them terrified of us. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm gonna nod at Kaitoa and grab the noble that he's got right now and pull him in close and tell him the four of us are now running this town and we want the backing of the nobles. And if we don't feel like we have that, that we will be coming specifically for him.
Yeah.
Whoa. Kaitoa and Rook, could you both roll intimidation? Steve and Belleg, could you roll either sort of, it's like diplomacy or persuasion?
Persuasion, I guess.
As the party.
So good at that.
Yeah.
Well, I got it. I got a
natural. 13 for Belleg.
Natural 20 for me, so 23.
Steve is just talking so much shit. I got a 3.
13.
And then maybe we can build a Ferris wheel, and then maybe we can have cotton candy machines, and then maybe...
Bellag's overwhelmed by Steve's stupidity.
Ferris wheels and cotton candy. Are these for... Well, I think I've heard of a Ferris wheel before. You know, they say Lantern has the Essayad's biggest ball of twine. Is that what you suggest? Sort of create a new image for Pulp? I'm open to it. The banditry slaughter and daily executions aren't particularly sitting well with everybody. It's only been a year and a half of this sort of governance, if you want to call it that. And not a tear will be shed for Nafri if the things that you propose are indeed taken into action. Your legless dwarf here seems to... be providing me perhaps the opportunity to roll and get away from this
super intimidating half-orc and tin man.
Are you still holding on to him, Kaitoa?
No, I think Rook. Him. Yeah, I think Rook took him away from me.
So, as this exchange has happened, you've produced two effects in this purple noble. If you're letting him go, he seems mollified, afraid... but boy, is he relieved. And his flop sweat, you know, stops, but you can see, like, his back is just soaked. This guy was terrified.
There's just a final group out here, guys. They're these sort of ones. They're the commoners, right? The middle class guys from, like, the northern dock area. Witnesses to that strange exit that I told you about last night.
I'd like to hear what they have to say about
Bring
that.
Him in!
Yeah, well, we're also execution fans. Yeah, I like the executions, too. Yeah.
We have a story to tell.
What's that story?
Welcome, friends and adventurers, to The Break. DM Robulon here. Today, I'd like to simply remind you to check out dragonburndesigns.com for the most amazing dice box, dice tray, tower, and accessories. You can go to the checkout once you've fallen in love with one of their phenomenal items and enter the promo code BlackguardsFan. That's BlaggardsFan, all caps, and receive 10% off your entire order at dragonburndesigns.com. That is all. And now, we return to Season 3, Episode 17 of Dungeons and Blackguards.
Witnesses to that strange exit that I told you about last night.
I'd like to hear what they have to say about
Bring
that.
Bring
him in! Yeah, well, we're also execution fans. Yeah, I like the executions, too. Yeah.
We have a story to tell.
What's that story?
Well, come up here. And then there's a little girl who comes up as well.
I was eating frozen ice cream, shaved ice cream on the northern docks last night, and I spied a very strange little boat with lots of little oars.
Oh,
and,
thank God!
And then, the little boat, I saw it with my own eyes. It went right into a bigger boat, like the bigger boat ate it.
Shut up, you kid. That's not what happened at all. There was sorcery at work.
It was not that at all. It was a mirage. There was no larger ship.
Both wrong. It was an invisible wall in a sort of larger mothership. There was a tiny little flash as this boat seemed to disappear on the horizon northwards. Hey, what'd I tell you guys? Strange exit from the city last night.
Quartermaster, can I let this little girl speak?
Let her speak.
And I shut everyone else up and push this girl forward.
Oh, thank you. Very, very nice to see the Quartermaster again. You kissed me on the cheek before the duel, remember?
I do.
Well, it's true, the tale. I saw a little boat disappear into a big boat and they sailed northwards. Last night, it was an air of evil.
Young lady, that's very advanced talk and metaphor for a lady of your age.
Do you know who was on the boat?
Very well. I'll take the language down a bit. Spooky boat disappear. Ooh, spooky boat.
Who was on the boat?
I can't say, but it looked to me like it must be like little halflings that paddle the tiny little boat. It looked like a sausage and a little centipede.
The cobbles. It's the cobble.
What?
All we've come to say is this, of course. Return the executions.
Yes, return the executions. Very, very fun, the chop-chop, and the mayor's quite flamboyant. Why not any more executions today? 'Tis coming upon the time for choppy.
Why would we execute you?
I point at the quartermaster, and I flag around the guys who are yelling that.
Okay, Rook, the guy who you singled out, catches a huge gulp in his throat and seems to cower, and the construct, sorry?
Yeah, I put his head down, I put my knife or my axe against his throat, and I just say, like, serious.
Speak now.
He sort of, you know, pulls his lips back against his teeth as your sharp whatever weapon you've pulled on him presses against his skin. It's true. We were just getting shaved ice down by the northern docks. The girl, she just alerted us to a strange thing, and it was misty and it was foggy last night, right? And we couldn't quite see, but it did look like what she said.
Intimidation.
You know more.
Okay, roll intimidation.
Ooh. 19.
Ooh.
These three that you've got and the one that you're holding physically, Kaitoa,
we don't know any more than that, but if you ask us, it was a nobleman's ship, the larger one.
Is there a flag or color?
None, but was a double-length ship with three masts. Certainly a wealthy nobleman's ship that this little one disappeared to. It was the strangest vessel I've ever seen. No sails, very small.
And Kaitoa, you've sort of, you know, held this guy so tightly that, you know, his arm is starting to go purple and his hand is starting to go white.
Quartermaster, I hope my information was useful. I hope you haven't created a supervillain. Bye.
A little foreshadowing,
maybe? Maybe. Lollipops and cotton candy.
Cotton candy, yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Why are you guys so adamant on executions?
As they walk away, Dante, you know, seems to be the only one left behind here. There's nobody else outside of the white chain, and he looks back at you, Rook.
Somebody's got to die. That's just been the way it is. And usually it's a bunch of hand-picked urchins, but maybe that doesn't need to continue. It was really only under the reign of Nafri since we even made a distinction between South Polby and Polb proper. Yeah, I don't know. Why kill? I don't know. Give peace a chance.
Trust me, I don't mind killing.
Quartermaster. What?
Yeah.
Perhaps we propose who doesn't make enough food or produce enough goods. That's the guy who we execute.
I feel like we're going from democracy to like fascism here.
Yep.
I'm gonna say to Kaitoa, I don't like the fact of just killing somebody because they didn't come up with enough goods. I mean, what if they, you know, their crop gets infected? Whose fault is that? I mean, I think it's more somebody is executed because they deserve it, and then it's a public execution. So, but we rule this town together. All right. There's nobody else around, so you don't got to call me quartermaster, but we got to make a decision as a group as how we want to run this move forward.
Well, I'm the axe. You're the hand that swings it, so let me know what's going on.
I note your suggestion, but kind of look to Bellegg and Steve and just kind of go, I mean, trust me, I'm not one to back away from jumping at the opportunity to kill somebody, but at the same time, just because somebody didn't produce enough food.
I'm sorry, this is Rook who I'm talking to, right?
I think the only argument so far for killing people in a gallows sort of way is because it's just what they've been doing for a while.
So, well, if they deserve it. Like, if somebody is stealing or something like that, then yeah, but
the whole town is starving. Nobody's producing anything.
So I whispered to Rook,
we're not necessarily gonna do it, but there's a threat of, like, we will execute noblemen for them to produce. We're encouraging noblemen to produce.
As you guys talk back and forth, you know, Dante, his fist is under his chin, and he's looking back and forth as you guys sort of discuss.
I thought you left already.
Dante and Dorophil are the only ones in the front. Shorva is still off to the side, but nobody else is in there with you. Dante kind of looks back and forth to you guys and says, hey, you know what, guys? I've seen a lot of plays. I've seen a lot of, you know, dramas. Have you ever seen the play? Well, I'll tell you what my suspicion is here. I'm not totally dumb, you know? Yeah, well, my suspicion is that Flaunton was siphoning off some of the criminals, the ones who were the best sword fighters, and creating bands of bandits to sort of create a fake sense of urgency in the city, which Naffrey capitalized on and subsequently, you know, divided the city into rich and poor, so the center execution would be a chance for everybody to have collective catharsis.
But now we don't need that.
Astute. It doesn't seem like we need that. What is, you know, moral north on this company's compass is very tough to pin down.
Where are these bandits?
Dead!
Delic stands by his original suggestion.
All of them dead, guys.
Like, dramatized events every day. It sounds wonderful. No death, just beauty.
They're hungry and weak, but let's bring them art.
Exactly.
How about we choose or we let them choose kind of their best fighter of the day to fight, like the noblemen's can choose their best fighter, and then the kind of more blue collar can choose their best fighter.
Oh, wow.
Of the day, and whoever wins gets a prize, you know, we'll make it whatever X amount of gold.
Hey, maybe so land or farmland.
Classes against each other.
Okay, we'll propose something like that, guys. And did you say, again, some sort of an idea of requesting aid from Lantern? Do I need to send a raven there, too?
Yes.
All right, I think the aviary's got plenty ravens. Guys, ooh. And there is the toll bell. It is exactly noon, and it seems like court at the White Chain has concluded. Dorophil asks a final question. He seems to be addressing the party in general.
I'm going to take a walk across in the well by the quartermaster's bar. There are, and Mickey will probably come by. So, did you catch all that?
No.
Mickey?
No.
Oh, squeak, squeak, squeak.
It sounds like you have marshmallows in your mouth.
Dorophil has rolled away, guys, and you receive now a final visit as Dorophil leaves here. I guess a final visit in the morning, it is Leah.
Hello.
What's up, Leah?
This, and she produces an envelope.
The results from the Wizard Mem's investigation. That mask, that's a spicy one. Ooh, I think the Mem might have wrestled with a little bit of something or other there, guys. You were right to warn him, but Mem's a bit hot-headed, so, well, he might be out for the count for the next couple of hours or so. Results, right here.
And she hands the letter out towards you guys.
I grab it.
Yeah.
Can. Snatch it.
And while he does that, can I hand her a couple silver and say, for your troubles in your front door? Sorry about that. I just got overzealous.
I'll take the silvers. Thank you, my lord, quartermaster.
Welcome. Thanks for being understanding.
The wink and the gun.
What's in the letter?
Complete descriptions and some lore on these three articles you brought by from these folks that I understand were killed in the Battle of Pole Plaza, and then this mask as well. Mem just had the energy to scribble out some descriptions there. Oh, well, I almost forgot to give you this.
And there's a small bottle of clear liquid.
You'll need this to read both this and the list of majorly sweet weapons that we gave you the other night.
I take a swig.
What? Don't drink the ink! What?
And Beleg, you have a sour sort of fermented alcohol taste in your mouth, and as it goes down your esophagus, it is burning hot.
I take a swig of it, and then I spit it over the parchment.
It's not shots. What do you guys do? Now the construct has taken. Do you just spitting on the?
Kaitoa, as you spit, Beleg, as you wheeze and sputter,
Beleg, my water skin.
You do see the intended result. The spray of fine mist
invisible
of
ink. It's invisible ink.
You know,
come
begins
on.
To show what's on the parchment.
Yeah. You're a hot mess today.
Hey, Leah, did you like my joke? That was a joke.
Well,
me swigging the...
it's a very kind of crude and crass physical humor, that, but I suppose, haha.
I'll take it.
Roll persuasion. The DM with the heavy head says...
18.
Oh, well, I'll upgrade my completely disdainful haha to a haha!
Yes!
Very boyish humor, but I suppose it could be worse. You could be trashing my doors, throwing Mem's porcelain teacups along the floor, what else did you guys do when you barged in today? Yeah, quite awful manners today, guys. Oh, I wouldn't date any of you.
I don't know who did that, but they sound like a bunch of assholes.
Sorry, I'm a construct. I don't really need to drink tea. If it's not healing crisply, then I don't give a fuck.
You launched that thing. Like, you launched it, and it smashed on the floor. I understand, though. Oh, wait, hold on. Wait. What's this? What's this liquid? I'm remembering the story, Kaitoa.
You need to launch Crisplake back to life.
I forgot. One more thing.
And she points down the street, Kaitoa, and Party, you know, you would now see, because you're all the doorway there, and you've seen this sort of exchange of a letter, and you guys fucking drinking the invisible ink. But now you see a cart coming down the street. It is two ponies led by, oh, it's your meat wagoneer friends, but they do not have bodies on the back.
You know who helped me, actually? Your little friend, Gurm.
And on the top
of the cart is Gurm, and it looks like, guys, there's sort of this oblong, sort of rectangular thing under a blanket as they pull into view.
Hey, boys! Well, I suppose now, I really am the ice cream man. Look at this contraption.
In Kaitoa, they have upgraded Krizblik's cryo chamber, as per your earlier discussion.
Come on, Gurm.
Now, it's part sort of arcane material magic. Don't bustle it about now. Do you hear me? Do not bustle it about. No earthquakes. Right? Do not rupture the inner seals. Right? This is a flux not a joke capacitor. Here. Oh, no. Do not rupture the flux capacitor. No.
Don't let it touch water.
I'm sorry. What does that mean?
Water is fine. It's waterproof. It'll float. It's temperature control. Little Krizblik's in there. Now, mind you, I do think she would still make a great pair of gloves. But mind you. Now, just put it on your back there, Kaitoa. There you go. And it has been outfitted with straps. Just do not jostle it beyond normal jostling. Riding a horse, no problem. Dropping it off a 30-foot cliff, big problems. Combustible problems. Not good, right? Deep gnome, dry ice.
I'm sorry, but jostling, me hammer smashing someone to bits, is that jostling?
Or smooth, me falling 30
smooth
feet?
Swings, Kaitoa. Smooth into flesh, nice and smooth. That should be fine. Axe swinging, no problem, love.
Yeah. All right. No great falls, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Okay, and now you have seen, truly a strange, contraption, but it seems to be functioning, Kaitoa. It is sized perfectly to sort of integrate with your adventurer's pack, but you'll sacrifice about 50% of whatever you'll carry in there. And party, as now the wagoneers depart, and Leah makes to depart. Anything else?
I ditch all my rope, my javelins, I ditch everything. All I'm left is, like, my axe and Krizblik on my back.
You look mighty fine, and I think you have a noble cause, a noble aim there, strapped to your back. Help! Steve, a little help?
Oh, yeah, that's still kind of dirty, but here you go.
Thank you.
And she hands it back.
I'm going now, guys. You know, there were like 75 wounded men that were brought back last night. And I'll tell you, there's still a bit of a backlog. Being the only healer in town's, farewell, you all.
I could
some leather gloves.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I've patched myself up a number of times. I'm sure I could help if you need an extra hand.
Oh, practical medical knowledge is something we sorely lack. There is the medical doctor, but his methods are old school. I'll tell you, that's goblin war medicine. So do indeed, Steve, help us if you can.
Steve, if you're making to help that'll be an inter-episode thing where you will help the backlog of healing, lot of null bites, lot of grievous wounds. I think that you probably, Steve there, you know, make a nice name for yourself, aiding Leah. And perhaps, you know, Steve, Steve's little Kodama's help as well. Is that what you're kind of getting at?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got the ability to do it, not only like with my medicine, with my ability to patch and heal that I've learned over the years, but I've also, yeah, just kind of harnessed the ability to call on these Kodamas too. So, provided that we've got especially a green space, we could definitely really help these guys out.
Oh, wow, Steve. Yeah, so you actually collect with Leah over the next sort of day or so as you use spell slots and recharge them. You find a sort of green area near the quartermaster's barracks, and you're able to, yeah, actually create almost a little bit of a name for yourself, Steve. You are now not anonymized amongst your other more colorful party members. In this day following the Battle of the Polba Plains, such a good name, you almost develop a little following. And Steve, some people are asking you whether you are a cleric or have some sort of druidic knowledge. Yeah, as you aid Leah in what appears to be a part of her duty here after these days of battle and bloodshed.
Steve's not entirely chuffed about that. But if he can help, then he will.
Right. As you perform this. Yeah, guys, is there anything else that you might do inter-episode?
So definitely Katoa, and now that I have Crispic in this like cryogenic chamber, I'm just gonna shut down and just be a heat exchanger and just like and try and like all I'm gonna do is like huddle and trying to absorb heat, exchanging, trying to keep this thing cold as long as possible.
Relic's gonna each day use his major illusion spell to create fantastic theater in Cold Plaza.
Oh, wow. Okay, Beleg, you intentionally or not, you answer the noble's question of who was this dragon conjurer. And Beleg, as you sort of drop in and become a bit of like the feature of these dramatic performances.
Oh, I don't want to be a feature. I want to like hide behind the scenes and just make them appear.
Oh yeah, I mean your conjuring, you know, appears as like special effects, right, for the dramatic play.
Yeah.
We know what's being reenacted: the Battle of Polba Plains. And the events of the last couple of days seem to be the dramatic subject of these plays that you guys have encouraged to go on, as simultaneously in conjunction with the plays to satisfy the more bloodthirsty inclinations of the city, there is a bit of kind of like a gladiatorial but non-lethal face-off. Rook, as you see your friend Beleg sort of escape off once or twice down to the plaza, and you've seen Steve as well go off to this kind of area near the quartermaster's barracks, and Kaitoa mostly is now concentrating on forming a sort of technological symbiosis with his new cryogenic backpack. What would Rook be doing, as he does note that it is Dorophil who seems to be sort of coordinating these daily matches between some of the new soldiery of Polb?
I'd be taking note of the names he's writing down and just kind of watching over and seeing what kind of skills they display.
All right, Rook, you are asked to join and demonstrate dual wielding, you know, for some of the soldiers, and you identify then that your injured contingent of men, they are not coming back to active duty quickly. So you guys have about 200 soldiers of Polb, but you have successfully drafted another 200 or 300 in. I mean, guys, by the time 2 or 3 days pass, you feel like you have actually increased the amount of the standing army in Polb. Rook, you're fairly assured that what you've identified here is some potential. And in fact, guys, it seems like the army of Polb is quite inspired by the acts of the party.
Cheer.
Finally, as you guys on the third day begin to prepare to leave the city, Sergeant Sandrid comes to you on this final morning, as the party has clearly made overtures that they have pressing business elsewhere.
Thank you for sending the raven that afternoon before the rescue of the army. It's too bad, of course. It was shot down by gnolls before it ever reached us. But I knew it was you, and when you appeared on the ridge, I thought, indeed, that we were saved. You're not like the previous lords in the city. You seem to have a kernel of goodness beneath all the badassery and the slaughtering of everything that moves. It's quite a winning combo.
Sorry I threw a brick at your face.
What? Me noggin?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh, it was only 2 days ago, you know. Well, I suppose...
Well, I'm only 16. That's a long time ago.
All right, guys. Is that where we're going to leave the party tonight?
Yeah. He's trapped up and ready to roll?
Yeah.
Sure feels like it.
Yeah.
Now it's like you have a little pet city. And did we leave it water? And did we leave it food? And is the doggy sitter coming over to play with the doggy?
It's our little Tamagotchi.